gospel of the future, but she said, can your God help me today? Can your God help me today? I'm here to tell you, my God can help you today. I'm here to tell you, my God can help you today. He's not just the God of the future, He's the God of the now. Faith now. And so God is able to help you today. So I want to tell you about this incredible story. But the reality is, you can say, well, Pastor, my daddy wasn't a patriarch. My granddaddy wasn't somebody that wrestled with God. My dad wrestled with booze, with alcohol, with addictions. My daddy didn't wrestle with God. They wrestled with prostitution. They wrestled with some very evil things on this earth. I don't have the heritage Joseph had. So, Pastor, when you talk to me about Joseph and this amazing thing that God did, don't you understand my spiritual heritage isn't the same as his? And none of us in this room had that spiritual heritage. Think about this, that God would surname Himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did God tell Moses when Moses asked, who do I say sent me? The God of Abraham. God surnamed Himself with the names of men. He surnamed Himself with... He said, I'm not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham. And I got news for you. He's not ashamed to be called the God of Stephen. He's not ashamed to be called the God of Stephen. Because once I got washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was just as good as Abraham. Because of faith, I have been grafted in. The reality is, one of the greatest hindrances to faith is a lack of a working knowledge that you are a new creature in Christ. That you are a new creation and a new creature. I need to read this again to you. The reality is, the number one greatest hindrance to your faith is a lack of working knowledge. Everybody say working knowledge.
Working knowledge.
That you are a new creation and creature in Jesus Christ. So, if you're a new creation and a new creature in Jesus Christ, I'm not the old Stephen. I'm a new creature. Why do I keep saying that? I went to Blue Ridge. I'm a new creation and a new creature in Christ. Say, I'm a new creature in Christ.
I'm a new creature in Christ.
We made our own words up there. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Galatians. And I just want to read something. There was something happening in the church of Galatians. The book of Galatians was written to Rome, from Rome. And just so you'll know, the book of Galatians and the book of Hebrews were both written together from Rome. And Paul is dealing with the Galatians, the church at Galatia, because the power of God had come in and moved, and people had got saved. Jews had been saved. Gentiles had been saved. But what happened is, after a while, Judaizers came in, and they began to try to tell the people that faith in Jesus Christ alone is not enough, that you need to go back and add the works of the law to it. And they were Judaizing the church. And Paul wrote, and when he heard this, he wrote this letter from Rome, and he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Galatians 3:1. He said, who hath bewitched you? He's saying, this is witchcraft. Okay? To tell people that you have faith in Jesus Christ, but that's not enough. Now you've got to go back to the works of the law, and you've got to go back to Feast of Weeks. You've got to go back to Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you've got to go back to sacrifice. They literally wanted people to go back to circumcision. And Paul said, who has bewitched you? Jesus Christ has finished it all. Jesus Christ has done it all. Faith in Jesus Christ, what it does is it removes the law, and Jesus fulfilled the law, so I fulfilled the law in Christ, because I now live in Christ. In Him I live and move and have my being. I couldn't fulfill the law, but in Christ, Christ fulfilled it. So guess what? Faith has taken care of all of the law for me. I don't have to take a lamb to Jerusalem every year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have to go find a lamb. I don't have to do ceremonial washings and cleansing every time I eat. My goodness, can you imagine all that kind of lifestyle? Paul said, why are you going back? And you are Judaizing the faith of Jesus Christ. So I want to just read here, starting in verse 6. Verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now go down with number 6. So Paul is dealing with the issue. He said, why are you going back to this? And the reality is, the nature of man is to always go back to what he used to know. Do you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and when things got a little difficult, they wanted to go back to Egypt? And they said, we remember the leeks and the garlic of Egypt, and they wanted to go back. God had set them free from slavery, and yet they wanted to go back to it.
Yes.
God had set them free from slavery, and yet they decided, we want to go back to it. So the reality of human nature is we always go back to the pig pen we came from. Many times. It's just the nature of the flesh. So verse 6, as Abraham believed in God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I want you to get that in your spirit. Not the children of God, it says, the children of Abraham. Nobody got it. Okay. I'm going to read it again. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I thought we were children of God. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Now I'm looking at you. Everybody say the heathen. Through faith preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And I'm in the New Testament, and all he's doing is rehearsing Old Testament on me. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The Bible says, in the law, God taught this, that if I'm guilty in one point, I'm guilty of what?
The whole.
If I'm guilty in one, I'm guilty of?
All.
I'm guilty of one, I'm guilty of?
All.
So, the Bible is saying, this is, if you want to live by the law, be prepared to die by the law.
Yeah.
That's what Paul's telling the Judaizers who have come into the church at Galatia. The Scripture we're seeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith, everybody say faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Ooh. So everybody that is trying to work their way to heaven is under a curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but... These verses right here are so powerful in relation to what God has done for us, that I don't have to live by that law. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, and the man that doeth them shall live in them. And in the law of duality, you could add, and or die in them. For Christ, verse 13, now this is good news. I could read these two verses to you, and we could go home, and you've been preached to today. This is so amazing. For Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Ooh, not the Jews, the Gentiles. Ooh. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And everybody said,
amen.
My goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
The Bible says you're blessed. The Bible says you're blessed. That the blessing of Abraham. Say, I'm blessed. With the blessing of Abraham. You got to say it like you don't believe it. I need you to understand this. Jews understand this. Hebrew people understand this. They'll shout it, I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Bless God. I'm blessed with it. I'm blessed with the blessing. Say it like you mean it. Say it like you believe it. Say it like it's real. Because I'm going to do it in this series with Joseph. I'm going to do a thing in relation to Hebrew people and what they believe and what it does for them in the earth. If you don't believe it does something for you, go to Hollywood, go to the banking on New York Street, up on Wall Street, and you'll see what it does. It's unbelievable what the blessing of God will do if you'll approve it and take it and approach it in your life and make it applicable. And Paul wrote this letter to protect the conversion of the Gentiles to Christianity, because Judaizers were coming in and saying, faith in Jesus isn't enough. We need to add this. And we need to add this. And we need to... And do you realize that when Jesus came to the law of the 613 laws, when Jesus came, there were about 1,100 laws. Every time you have where you have to have works, men will add to it.
Yes.
Men will always add to it. Say with me, men will add to it.
They
can't help themselves. They just add to it. So when Jesus came, the law wasn't even recognizable unto him. And because they did not recognize the law as God read it, they didn't recognize Messiah when he came. See, it's important to know the Word of God, because when you know the Word of God, you'll know when God comes. If you know the Word of God, truly know the Word of God, you'll know when He shows up in your life. You'll know when it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You'll know when it's God saying, do this. You'll know it. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. They didn't know the Word of God, and Jesus reprimanded them for it. He said, because you don't know the Word of God, you don't even know who's standing in front of you. How sad will it be on the Day of Judgment for the Pharisees that mocked Jesus, stood before Him, questioned Him, and the day they see Him on judgment. You're that guy we talked to on the streets of Jerusalem. And we missed you because we appropriated more importance in the law than we did in a relationship with God. So Paul's writing to protect the Christians that have converted in Galatia from the Judaizers. He writes to protect the truth of the work of Jesus Christ in the gospel. That the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is to all people. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world. And the Judaizers were coming in saying, no, it's just us. We've got all the truth. Uh-huh. If you want to know what a cult is this. We have the only truth and the rest of you guys don't have any truth. That's what a cult is. We have the franchise on truth. We're it. That's a cult. You can write that down. That's going to be on the air. That Pastor Steve said it. Yes. Anybody that tells you we're the only truth, we have all the truth, nothing but the truth, you all a bunch of idiots, beware. Beware. I got news for you. They said it's not enough just to trust Christ. It's not enough to have faith in Christ. We need to add some stuff, some ceremony. We've got to put some stuff back in. We've got to add some things. And today that's what we see going on in this country. The Bible's outdated. It's old-fashioned. You don't need it anymore. It was written 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. It's old. It's not even applicable to today. And so today what we see is a whitewashing of the Bible in America. And what happened is, we're in America what you see is a culture that wants to get rid of the Bible. A culture that wants to get rid of God. But the reality is, if Jesus needed the Word and needed to quote the Word against the devil and the world, so do you. This is what Jesus quoted against the devil. When the devil came about against Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus quoted Bible, specifically Deuteronomy, at the devil. And I tell people this, Jesus quoted Old Testament to a New Testament devil. Jesus quoted Old Testament Scripture to a New Testament devil in the wilderness. If Jesus needs the Word and needs Scripture and needs to have it in His heart, so do we. So God gives Israel Moses. And through Moses is where Israel gets their identity as a people and a representation of God in the earth. The problem was after 3,000 years, their identity was not with God. It was with ritual and tradition. That's what their relationship was with now. It wasn't with God any longer. So what happened is the law and their rituals and their tradition had become more important than their relationship with God. And the very law that they preached and teach, they didn't live. So what happened is it became mutually exclusive unto Israel. That we have God, we own God, we have Him in a box, He's ours. For we know that Abraham was our father, we know that Moses was our father, but Jesus, who are you? My God, do you understand what I just said? We know that Abraham was our father. We know Abraham. We know his writings. We know who Moses was. We know the Mosaic Law. But Jesus, who are you? But you, Holy Spirit, who are you? And that's what religion and tradition will do. It will make God unrecognizable to you. When God is with you and God is standing in front of you and God is speaking to you, you won't recognize Him if religion and traditions have control of you. So Paul is trying to undo what was happening at the Church of Galatia. Because the Jews have become more devoted to their rituals of the law than being devoted to the spirit of it. And God preached. I need you to go back with me to Galatians, and I want to go back to verse number 8. Galatians 3. Let's start with verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, everybody say heathen, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. God preached Jesus Christ to Abraham.
Yeah.
Jesus, what is the gospel we believe? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yeah. Jesus Christ coming to earth, In the form of a baby, through the womb of a woman, and Jesus Christ bringing the kingdom of God to the earth. That is the good news or the gospel. And your Bible says that God preached the gospel to who?
Abraham.
Before Jesus Christ was even on the scene. God preached the gospel to Abraham. Abraham knew Jesus was coming. Yes. Abraham knew Jesus was coming. Abraham knew Jesus was coming. Abraham knew Jesus was coming. My God, do you understand what I'm telling you? God preached the gospel to Abraham.
Yes.
Read your Bible, underline that scripture. That'll change your life and understanding of where Abraham stood and why Abraham had the blessing of God. He received the gospel God preached to him. Read that in your Bible. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, help me here. Make it come alive. The Scripture foresees in verse 8 that God would justify the heathen, that's me and you, through faith, preached before the gospel. Oh, my God. He was preaching Jesus Christ back to Abraham. He was preaching Jesus Christ back to Abraham. He was preaching Jesus Christ back to Abraham. The good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ has come. That's the good news of the gospel. And Abraham received it, and God said, wow, this guy gets it. He's going to believe it. I'm going to bless this guy. I'm going to put a blessing on this guy so big it's going to last till Jesus Christ comes again for the second coming.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put a blessing on him and everybody that believes according to their faith, and he's going to be the father of faith. I'm going to bless everybody that will accept the blessing I want to give him. This is why Abraham got so blessed by God. He preached the gospel of Abraham, and he believed it. And the reality is I preach gospel every Sunday, and sometimes I preach gospel to people that I know don't believe it. I preach the gospel every Sunday. And it gets preached all over America, many times in many places, every Sunday. And there's a lot of people that don't believe it. Even after Jesus Christ has come, and history proves He came. History alone proves Jesus came. Far as a book, far as prophetic word, the Bible is the most sure, steadfast book you'll ever study in relation to history and historical events of prophecy and things that have happened. 72% of everything in the Bible has come true. 72%. If I'm just a betting man, I'd bet on the Bible. If I was in Vegas, I'd just bet on the Bible. I wouldn't bet on the Cardinals, but I would bet on the Bible. I promise you that. I promise you that I'd bet on God's Word. And so we read that and we read right over it. And God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel. That's Jesus Christ. Woo! My God! And Abraham got it. And Abraham got it. And Jesus hadn't even come yet. God hadn't even revealed the plan how He was going to come. But Abraham believed it. You're going to send a Savior. God preached the gospel to Abraham and he believed it. Woo! Now I get a little bit of this Abraham and why he's so powerful in God. Why he's so powerful in the Bible. My goodness, he preached the before, saying, in thee shall all nations... How many nations?
All.
How many nations?
All.
That means me and you. That means this is not exclusive just to the Hebrews.
Yeah.
Hold it. All the nations. That means I'm included here if I believe in Christ. That means I'm included in the blessing of Abraham. That might... Oh my God. If God did that for Joseph, He'll do that for me. Because now, because I believe by faith in Jesus Christ, this blessing now, the blessing of Abraham, is on my life. Hallelujah. I'm just a messenger. I'm just telling you what it says, folks. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Oh, I got ahead of myself. So then they which be of faith are blessed. Woo! Everybody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Man, that stunk. I'm blessed. My God, brother. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm not quoting me. I'm quoting God here.
Yeah.
I'm quoting Scripture.
Right.
Let me read that again to you. I preached this to some dogs the other day, and they got all excited and went nuts barking. They were so they which are of faith are blessed with faith. My God, how many have believed in Jesus Christ by faith?
Yeah.
The Bible says you're blessed with Father Abraham. Ooh. Somebody howl. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody do something. My God. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Whew. They which be of faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. My God. Oh, Jesus, help us understand this. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Could you imagine that burden and the weight of the book of Leviticus being on your life every day? Anybody ever read Leviticus? If you ever want to get bummed out, read Leviticus. If you ever want to go to sleep at night, read Leviticus. I'm just making a point, Lord. Don't you? It's good reading. It's good reading. My goodness, it's important. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do. You see, the law, it impeaches you for any offense to the whole law. Do you remember when they talked to Jesus and God, they talk about, well, a man thinks it in his heart. You know, Jesus said, well, if you think it in your heart, He said, you've done it.
Yeah.
That's the law. That's the law. That's the law. I love people that is just like, oh my goodness, you know, I don't understand what God has set you free from your thoughts. Because the reality is all you got to do is rebuke that thought in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and move on and get going on. Don't nurse it. Don't play with it. Get rid of it. Name of Jesus, I rebuke that thought. Get out of here. I'm not going to give that thought life. So those who continue in law are cursed, the Bible says. Because I love what Paul says here. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Paul said, it's evident. You ever see all these people that are holier than thou and better than you running around, and then you find out and you get to meet them and you really get to know them and you find out, my goodness, I had no idea that what they're living is a lie. People that always harp on you about sin, people that always harp on you about sin, generally have that sin they're contending with in their life. Generally, I could talk about a preacher, but I won't. The reality is, no man's justified by the law in the sight of God, for it's evident. Listen, brother, says, I'm going to tell you right now, the only good thing in me is Jesus Christ. There is nothing in me worthwhile. If you got to know me literally away from church, you'd wonder, are you really a pastor? Are you saying you're... I'm not saying I'm a heathen. But I'm saying the reality is, apart from Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, I'm regular mud. And so are you. And so are you. Yeah, your wife talked to me. Your husband talked to me. So are you. I know. But the just shall live by faith. So whatever this faith thing is, I need it. Whatever this... what say with me, the just shall live by faith. My God, whatever this faith thing is, I need it. As much as I need oxygen. As much as I need food. I need faith as much as I need anything. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of
God.
You need church too. Because church is what will build your faith. I praise God I don't have to live by works. But that puts me in the category of, then you must live by faith, son. How many praise God they don't got to do works? But if you want to go to heaven, you got to live by faith. Ooh, I got to live by faith now. I got to live by faith. That's huge. Now the just shall live by faith. Because living by faith changes everything. Because living by faith says, I call those things up not as though they were.
Yes.
That's what Abraham did. I'm 90 years old. God said, I'm going to have a seed. I don't see it happening. But I believe it's going to happen. I believe in God for that job. I'm believing God. What do you believe in God for that you may have not seen it yet, but you know God has promised you. And you're standing on your word, and you're standing on His word, and you're standing by faith that you know God is going to see you through. Say, I'm going to need the faith thing. You're going to need it. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Cursed is everyone that... So how many understand that when Christ went to Calvary, He became the curse of the law of sin and death? He became the curse of this earth. And so the reality is Christ has redeemed us from the curse. How many understand this? That by faith in Jesus Christ, you're redeemed from the curse.
Yes. Yes.
You're redeemed from the curse of poverty.
Uh-huh.
I got news for you. There ain't no witch that can hex a person or a man and woman that's born of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and is property and belongs to Jesus Christ. There ain't no witch that can curse you.
No
the devil cannot curse what God has blessed.
No power.
The devil has no more power over Jesus' blood.
Amen.
You think the devil has power over Jesus' blood?
No.
No. There was one famous pastor, the witches came down to his church, they bought a bunch of chickens, they cut the chicken's head off, you know, and they sprayed it all over the church. That happened. And he told them witches, you ought to just fry them chicken and eat them because that curse ain't going to touch me or my ministry or this church or the people in my church. You ought to just fry them. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. The reality is, because you're not under the curse, I'm not under the curse of fear. I'm blessed. I'm not under the curse of anxiety. I'm blessed. One of the greatest hindrances to the believer is not understanding you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. You're not under the curse. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live in doubt. I don't have to live in bondage. Those are all part of the curse. That's gone. So when the enemy comes against you, just say, I'm blessed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm blessed because of faith in Jesus Christ. I'm blessed. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of Abraham. And by faith, I am a son of the Most High God and a king and a priest unto God. I'm blessed. My goodness. I'm about to preach myself happy here. So Jesus, hold it. Jesus took my curse so I could be blessed. Jesus took my curse so I could be blessed. Jesus took the curse of sin and death, the curse of my granddad and my grandma and all the familiar things that came down through my crazy grandma and granddad and all their craziness, all the alcoholism, all the bothering, all the fighting, all the bar fighting, all that craziness. God said, I'm going to release you from all that. You're released from that curse. It don't have to happen in your life. The blood of Jesus, it ran up in my family till it ran up in the blood of Jesus, and then it stopped it. It killed it. Killed it there. Hold it. Hold it. Did I just read that? Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. He took my curse. Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Oh, there's not a period there in my Bible. Is it? There's not a period in my Bible. And I got the good Bible. And the reality is that the blessing of Abraham might come. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles? Are you telling me today, Pastor Steve, that Jesus died so the blessing of Abraham could come on your life? Absolutely! Read my lips! Jesus, yes, He died for your sin. Yes, He died to redeem you. But He also died so the blessing of Abraham could come on your life. Hallelujah!
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
So now when I go into the story of Joseph, I ain't going to listen to any of that. Well, Pastor, I don't come from a line of people that were anointed. My father wasn't a patriarch. My father didn't wrestle with God. He wrestled with booze and alcohol, drugs and women. I got news for you. You're no creature in Christ. You're a new creature in Christ, a new creation. God has made you somebody new. The curse is removed. God's going to bless you too. Yeah, you might have gone through some hell, but God said, I got some heaven for you. Do you know that when Joseph was 30 years old and God made him governor at 30 years old, from 30 to 110, the Bible doesn't talk one more time about Joseph going through hell. I'm sure that he had issues, and I'm sure that there were people gunning for him. But I got news for you. He never went. There was a day that God said, no more curse. No more hell on this earth. There's a day that God is going to set you up. And that the blessing of the Lord is going to see you out all the days of your life. So don't give me that. Well, my daddy wasn't a patriarch. No, but your Savior is. But your Savior is. Well, I don't have the bloodline of Joseph. No, you got the bloodline of Jesus. You got the bloodline of God the Father. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That. Cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. That. There's not a period there.
No.
Colon. In Lakeside, we call it two little dots. That is a colon. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, two little dots. That. Everybody say with me, that. That. Say it with me, that. 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 That what? The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Woo! That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I thank God for them two little dots.
Yeah.
My God. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on it. Jesus became my curse. Every curse Satan had prepared for me, Jesus broke it.
That's right. That's right.
Every curse Satan had for me, Jesus broke it. The reality is, I can tell you right now, I was not the smartest kid in school. I just wasn't. We grew up, everything was football, baseball, basketball, that's what it was. And sadly to say, I mean, that's my dad, he kind of purported that, you know. And the reality was, I didn't do real good in school. And then I found out I had a little bit of dyslexia. And I couldn't even spell that, but I found out what it was. And here's what I found out. God can overcome every problem and every obstacle. And everywhere you're deficient, He is proficient.
That's right.
And I didn't know nothing about business, and I found out God's the best businessman I've ever known. I didn't know nothing about real estate, and I found out God's the best real estate man I've ever known.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that. And God said, I'll be all that for you.
Right.
I'll be all that for you. Stay with me. He'll be all that for me.
He'll be all that for you.
Ooh, you're getting it. You're getting it. You're getting it. And God says, it's okay to believe that. God said, I want you to believe what I did for you.
Yes.
I want you to trust in it. I want you to say it. Well, I want you to speak it.
Yes.
Faith cometh by hearing. And hear by. If you quote God's Word and your spirit eats the words you speak.
Yes.
Your spirit eats the words you speak. Well, things are just bad. Things are just horrible. Your spirit just eating it up. Just chomping on it. Why don't you start saying, I'm the blessedness of Christ.
Yes.
I am blessed with the blessing of Abraham.
Yes.
The blessing of the Lord is upon me through Father Abraham. The blessing of Abraham's on me. Why don't you start speaking God's Word? See, the reality is this. You can get all excited about a new car, new house, new hairdo, new shoes. The devil can mess with all that. But he can't mess with what God has done for you that is set in stone. He can't mess with what God has put in covenant for you. He can't touch it. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness. You need to say that. When I walk around and I don't do something just right, I say, Lord, forgive me. And then I walk around. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am righteous through Jesus Christ and His blood. I am the righteousness of God. Pretty soon the devil's like, man, I can't change his mind. He knows he's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your spirit will believe what it hears from your mouth. Your spirit will believe it, I promise you. So the Gentiles were always part of God's plan. I thought the Jews, I thought the Hebrews, God so loved the world. When he told Abraham, how many nations of the earth are going to be blessed in your seed, Abraham?
All
the nations. We weren't an afterthought. Say it with me. We weren't an afterthought. Most people are raised to believe that we as Gentiles were an afterthought to God. Say, I'm not an afterthought.
I'm
a forethought to God. That's why we need to praise Jesus in a manner that says, I've always been on His mind. See, the Bible talks, and I'm not going to get to it today, but Paul talks about the covenant. And you go into that there in Galatians. He talks about this covenant cannot be annulled. The covenant of Abraham. He said the covenant God made with Abraham cannot be annulled by the law. He said the covenant that God made Abraham. You know the covenant God made with Abraham was before the law? How many know that the covenant God made with Abraham was before the law? I need you to get this in your spirit. The covenant with Abraham was made. Genesis 12. Get thee out of thy country. Into a land that I will show you. And I will bless you. He says, I'll curse you. My goodness. Well, I'm not going to turn there today. It's next week's sermon. The blessing of Abraham came before the law. And what Paul says here, and this is what he's trying to tell the church of Galatians. He said, the law of Moses does not annul what God has done through grace, through faith. Do you know believing in God was, at the first, it was never through the law. It was through faith. Now, when God told Abraham that in Genesis 12, this might mess with your theology. That Abraham was from Ur, the Chaldees, Mesopotamia. Abraham was a Gentile. I'm going to say it till you get it. The blessing of Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 and 2, God gave to Abraham when he was a Gentile. I'm preaching truth here. I know my Bible. I can read. I don't know what two colons are or two dots are, but I can read. And the reality is, God gave this promise and blessing to Abraham in Genesis 12. And I believe that the reason that God gave it to him is, you pack up your all your stuff and tell your wife, by the way, God spoke to me, we're leaving, we're out of here, and get rid of your family and all your family ways and all that junk. And I want you to take you to land. I'm not going to tell you where it is, to a land I'll show you. How many of you women be on board helping your husband pack? You better know it's God. You might end up in Holbrook. The reality is, or St. John's. But Abraham did this. You're going to see that every time Abraham stepped out in faith, God stepped up in promise. Every time Abraham stepped out in faith, God stepped up in promise. Do you remember when Abraham offered Isaac?
Yes.
The blessing had already been established, Genesis 12. Genesis 17, 18, he offers Isaac. And God does this. God says, wow, you just blew my mind. You offered your son, your only son? You were going to do it.
Yeah.
Abraham went up there to do that. He said this. He told the men, he said, you stay with the donkeys. I and the lad are going yonder to worship and we will return.
Yes.
That's what Abraham said. My God, the faith of this man blows my mind. I can see why God chose Abraham. He says, we're going to go worship and we will come back. My God. Now that's a man of faith. Hey, Dad, I see the wood. I see your lighter there. I see the knife. Where's the lamb? God will provide. My God. If Isaac had been like, yeah, he's never late. He just misses time to be early. That's all. He's never late. So you're telling me today, Pastor Steve, Jesus hung on the tree so the blessing of Abraham could come on you? Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I'm telling you. Jesus hung on that tree so the blessing of Abraham could come on you. Now, Pastor, I got news for you. You know what's exciting about that? Because that means if the blessing of Abraham come on you, it can come on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many get what I just said? If the blessing of Abraham can come on you, it can come on him.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for
and his children.
Amen.
And their children. So when we bless our children, we pray the blessing of Abraham on their lives.
Yeah.
I pray the blessing of Abraham on my children's lives. I prayed in the womb.
That's right.
I prayed in the womb. Why wait till they're here?
Right.
Get the blessing of God in the womb.
Yeah.
The second that God says, I know them the second they're conceived. So, let's see. Jesus said this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have it doesn't say that.
Yes, it does.
Does it say that in your Bible?
Yes,
it says that in your Bible.
Yes, it
says that in your Bible. Say it with me. He
came
that I might have life,
and life
more abundantly.
More abundantly.
Wow. 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 Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. So, I praise God, I'm blessed today. You're blessed today.
Amen.
My goodness. So, he died on a tree so that I could live. So, when I get into the story of Joseph, and I tell you that your patriarch is Abraham, you missed it. Your patriarch and faith is Abraham.
Yes. Amen.
I just read it to you. The father of faith. I just read it to you. I read Scripture. I didn't read Stephen. So now you have a godly heritage.
Yes.
By faith in Jesus Christ, you have the same heritage Joseph had.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Now God's saying, do what Joseph did.
Yes.
But you'll never do it if you don't believe who you are in Christ. You won't do it if you don't believe who you are in Christ. You'll never do what you don't believe you can. You never do what you don't believe that God has for you. So now you can't throw any of that lineage stuff at me. Well, my daddy, he didn't wrestle with God. He wrestled with, yeah, I know. But here's the thing I want to tell you. Jesus wrestled with the devil for you. Jesus wrestled the devil for you. You don't got to wrestle him. Jesus wrestled the devil for you. See, my Savior wrestled Satan for me. So as we look at that, we see that Jesus, He who knew no sin, became our sin. So when Jesus said, "It's finished," He meant all was finished. The end of the law, it's over. The blessing of heaven is now open. The curtain had been dropped. The curtain had been torn. The curtain had been ripped from the top to the bottom. God said, "I've opened back it up. I've opened heaven back up." And it was prophesied in Malachi chapter 3. "I will pour you out a blessing, which is the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ." And He says, that blessing be so big, you can't contain it all. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to finish this next week. The blessing ain't money. It's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The blessing is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blessing is Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
God gave that download to me this year and said, tell the people the truth. The blessing is Jesus Christ. I got a lot of sermon in a little bit of time. You see, Israel thought the blessing came through Abraham's bloodline. But the blessing comes through faith. And Abraham's faith in God. Abraham received the blessing before he was circumcised. Genesis 12, God gives him the blessing. Genesis 17 is where circumcision comes in. So God always had a strategy for Gentiles. I praise God for that.
Amen.
Abraham was a Gentile, folks. And this is what I tell people. Abraham didn't convert God to Judaism. God converted Abraham to Himself. And Judaism was the result.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Write that down and then you can study it for a week. Well, you need to understand what I just told you. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. God didn't convert Abraham to Himself. Abraham didn't convert God to Himself. God converted Abraham.
Yes.
And Judaism was the result, thank God.
Uh-huh.
Because us pagans weren't doing anything with God. Let me tell you.
Right.
There were 3,000 years us pagans were doing whatever we wanted to do. There were 3,000 years those pagans weren't even interested in God. In fact, we used to make fun of those Hebrews because they worshipped one God. We thought they lost their minds. Don't you know this tree, this frog, this dog, this horse, this cat, anything's God. This plant can be a God. That's what we did as heathens. But God preached the gospel to Abraham before. God told Abraham, "I'm going to go get those Gentiles. I'm going to get them Gentiles. I'm going to go get Stephen." And Jim, I know you're a good man, but God had to come get you. I know you're a good man, but God had to come get you. I know you're a good man, but God had to come get you too. So God had to come get Stephen. Because without God, I'd have been worshiping everything but God. So next week in my Christmas sermon, I'm going to talk about the second greatest present you can ever get. The first and greatest present you can get is Jesus Christ. The second greatest thing you'll ever get is knowing who you are in Christ. See, it's one thing. It's one thing to have all knowledge in the world. But if you don't have the ability to wisdom to use, know how to use knowledge, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. So that saying is one of the greatest hindrances in the Christian walk is not understanding that I'm a new creature and creation. I got it right. Now I can close. In Christ. Next week when I'm done, you'll have no excuse. Because I'm going to explain the blessing of Abraham to you. There's 9 points. And if you'll apply these 9 points to your life, it'll be the greatest thing you ever give yourself. It'll bless your wife. It'll bless your husband. It'll bless your kids. It'll bless your job. It'll bless every area of your life. Because God gave these things to Abram. He gave them to Abraham. In Genesis 12. And then in Genesis 17, after Isaac, God said this. He said, "You know that blessing I gave you?" He said, "I'm going to double it." Yes, He did. "I'm going to bless your blessing." That's what God said. "I'm going to double it." Hallelujah! God said, "I'm going to bless your blessing." My God, that's good news. That's good. Which he preached to Abraham before. Oh, no, that's not all he said. And I'm going to multiply your multiplying.
Yes.
That's what God told him. That's what God told him. So next week I'm going to tell you what you need to know so that God can bless it.
Yes.
And multiply it.
Yes.
That He can double the blessing and multiply the multiplying. You receive that today?
Amen.
Amen. Abraham was a Gentile. A heathen when God promised this. Whew! That means if He promised Abraham as a Gentile, it's ours too today.
Yes.
Amen? Bow your heads with me today. Father, we come before You and we thank You for this amazing Word of God that it is ever quick. It is alive. It divides spirit, soul. Oh my God, it divides our thinking. It divides the mindset we have. Wrong mindsets to right mindsets. Father, I just pray and ask right now You'd minister this to every person here today. That God poured this blessing into Abraham after he took one step of giant faith. God said, yes! I'm going to start this thing now. When you take a step, God takes a stand. Father, I ask You to minister to this to every heart and life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So.